Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and I'm going to be here till 11 o'clock. Bob is feeling a little under the weather, so it's just me today. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and I'll do my best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. A couple concerns up there. You guys have been following my TiVo debacle, and I was, of course, on the phone with TiVo again. And for those of you who are not aware, about a month ago, I called TiVo. This is a month, Joey. About a month ago, called TiVo because my brand new TiVo Bolt that we got for Christmas for the family is having a problem. So you call TiVo support, and we work through the trouble. And of course, when you call TiVo support, they confirm who you are with your phone number, your email address, and your physical address. And they finally agreed, okay, you know, we'll send you a new box and replace it. And I said, oh, that's great. The moment I hung up with them, they shut off my current box. Now, my current box was working, but two of the four tuners were failing. That was what we were trying to get replaced. So, of course, I was back on the phone with TiVo right away. Hey, guys, can you let my current box run while I wait for the new one? Oh, sure, yeah, that does make sense. We'll do that for you. Okay, fine. So maybe a week later, my replacement one was supposed to arrive, and I haven't noticed that it arrived from an email, but no TiVo in front of my house. I call FedEx, and they say, oh, yeah, we delivered it. I asked them the address, and turns out it was an address I lived at a decade ago. The boys at TiVo sent the box to the wrong address. I called TiVo up right away, and a very nice guy named Jared says, oh, sure, we'll take care of this, sir. We'll credit any charges on your credit card. Because, of course, there's a guarantee you have to put on your credit card that you're going to send back the other device, a $300 one, if you don't ship it back in time. We'll take care of it, sir, no problem, and we'll ship you another one. So then I wait two more weeks and find out they never did anything. And this box has never been recalled from wherever they shipped it, and it's completely lost in the TiVo, in the FedEx world, I'm still without my box. So I jump forward to yesterday because we opened up our credit card statement and noticed they had billed me for my not returning the other box. Of course, I couldn't because they shipped it to the wrong place. And I spent an hour of my life on the phone with TiVo, and they apologized tremendously for my sitting on hold. And even after being on hold for over an hour, the woman comes back and says, you know what, we're going to be another hour here. I have to get approval because it's too much money for me to credit you. And I'm like, honey, it's your fault. You didn't ever ship me anything. How can you charge me for something? She read it all in her own notes. And so she finally lets me go and says, I'll take care of it and I'll email you what happens. And, of course, the email comes in later that they couldn't credit me. They have to investigate. I'm like, it's all there. So I have a $300 charge that I'm waiting for. And you just can't make it up. From step A to all the way through step, you know, Z. Exactly. It's a sad day. And Joey, the funny thing about these guys is TiVo fixed the 12 o'clock flashers. Remember 12 o'clock flashers on their VHS tapes when you try to record Seinfeld? You know, people couldn't even figure out how to set the clock on their VHS. So TiVo solved that, but they don't know where you live. And the funny thing is about the last call I made just yesterday about this $300 charge on my credit card, she even said, oh, hi, Mr. Summel. I see you're a 20-year TiVo patron. I'm like, yeah, well, little good that does me. The folks at TiVo are still trying to figure out how to serve their customers poorly. I'll let you know what happens. They did send me a second device, supposedly. Hasn't arrived yet, but We'll see what happens. But I just can't not believe the lack of customer service when it comes to these folks. Scary stuff. In other news, speaking of customer service, Australia is slamming Apple for telling customers, quote, you're repairing it wrong. And you guys probably know I had that joke about you're holding it wrong with Apple, where they said if you're having phone problems, it's because you're holding it wrong. Well, Apple and Australia are kind of at odds, and it has to do with the fabled Error 53. And this is where, if you're an Apple device owner and you have a problem with it, and you bring it to a quote-unquote non-authorized repair center, basically to repair, let's say, a smashed screen, which I guess is the most common issue with Apple phones. You guys drop them a lot. If you had a Droid Turbo 2, it wouldn't smash, by the way, but we won't go there. But if you have it repaired by a non-Apple authorized repair center in Australia, and then you have to have another issue done with it down the road, let's say, Apple will say, hey, no, we're not repairing it because it looks like you had this work done. You had work done on this device by a non-authorized repair center. And the folks in Australia are not allowing this. I'm trying to see. It's some sort of consumer. Yeah, it's the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission is taking Apple to court about this and saying, look, you guys can't refuse to repair devices that have been previously repaired by an independent repair specialist. This is, again, how Apple works. It works within its own ecosphere. It's like when you buy drink the Kool-Aid, you drink all the Kool-Aid, whether you like it or not. And you're kind of saying you're gonna buy their devices, buy the stuff through their systems, and have them work on it, period. And if you don't like it, no soup for you. And Apple, the Australians are saying, enough of this. So we'll see what happens with Apple and that. Oh, by the way, the Turkish crime family, we were supposed to see all their Apple devices formatted. It looks like it may have been a hoax. There's some stories out there that the crime family is trying to say that they received $500,000 in Bitcoin, but even that looks like it was fake. So thankfully, they didn't have your credentials and they didn't wipe your phone. Obviously, they didn't, or it would have been bigger news. But it turns out that might have been a lot of smoke and mirrors. In other news, this is kind of good news here. The U.S. government is seeking to curb use of entry-level H-1B programmers. We've talked about this in the past on a show. Basically, H-1B is where, back in the 2000s, we were looking for skilled technology folks to help out with the Y2K boom, right? There was a big boom happening in technology, and we didn't have enough skilled people. So they created this H-1B visa system and brought in foreign nationals to help out with the needs of these corporations. Well, now it's being utterly abused by these big corporations, where you've seen the stories where Disney is replacing existing IT workers, having those IT workers train their replacements. We talked about the University of California doing the same thing to their IT workers. And thankfully, it looks like we're going to make some changes here that would increase the denial rates for entry-level H-1B programmers. And if you think about it, I mean, I was just at a I'm part of a computer advisory committee at a community college, and we were just talking about some of this stuff going on. And you think about it, we're trying to train future programmers, and now they got to compete against foreign nationals who are going to come in for entry-level positions. And the H-1B visa program was designed to bring in skill sets we didn't have, not to replace ones that we're training for, period. And these poor H-1B visa guys coming in from the foreign countries as well are being completely abused, because they come in often very low-wage folks and are being – it's like indentured servitude. You're kind of part of these offshoring companies that say you're going to work for us, and then we're going to stick you here over at Disney, or stick you over here at University of California, and you're going to be working for us. So thankfully, we're going to curb those things, and that will bring more jobs to our folks in America who are spending $30,000, $40,000 a year at college to learn how to become a programmer. Hey, Joey, the other thing I heard yesterday at this computer committee was that our big insurance companies locally are looking for COBOL programmers. COBOL. That's some old stuff. So they think that the need for COBOL programming, as far as some of the big insurance companies here in the state, will be a 20-year thing. So if you're in your mid-50s or early 60s and you've been forced to retire for some crazy reason and you have COBOL skills, they may want you back. So contact your local large insurance corporation here in Connecticut, because they need COBOL programmers. And they're hoping to train kids on COBOL. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was the year 2016, April, and I'm sitting in this meeting, and they're talking about training on COBOL. Couldn't believe it. But we need it. But then again, you know, that is what it is. It probably won't be hackable because nobody knows it. Our data is probably safer. So that's all I have for now. Feel free to get online. We have four lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and see the lines are starting to ring. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. Yeah, Joey's running the brass. I love it. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We have two lines open for you on this Saturday morning. Let's get right to your calls and start with Pam in Marlboro next. Hey, Pam, what's up?
Hi. I want to thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I was on my work email on my phone last night and ended up opening an attachment that was a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I opened it, I knew it was malicious.
Yeah.
So now I want to know how I can backtrack and make sure it doesn't harm my phone. What I've done so far is I ran AVG and mail, and I installed and downloaded Malwarebytes and ran that.
For your phone?
They both came up empty.
On your phone?
On my phone, yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't run them yet. I haven't tried that.
It's an Android phone. It's a Galaxy S6.
Yep. I've run Android myself.
Okay, and I deleted some apps that I thought might have some personal information in them, and now I've shut my phone off. I shut it off last night, and I also turned off the wireless connection, and I just want to make sure there's nothing still hiding in there, because I know some of these antivirus things on phones aren't as good as they are on computers.
Right. So how'd you know it was malicious, Pam? What happened? Just want to understand.
Pardon me?
How do you know the attachment was malicious? I believe you. I just want to have you explain it to folks so they can understand.
Well, it said it was an important document, and when I opened it, it didn't look right. And then I was looking at my email through another device this morning, and the person who sent it sent something, do not open that one. But I already suspected it last night and had kind of taken some measures.
Okay.
And so I'm pretty sure she said, you know, she had written that she had been hacked. And, you know, and I'm usually very careful. If I'm not sure, I don't open them. I check with the person first to see if they sent it.
Yeah.
And I did not on this one.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking I want to do is maybe even reset my phone to factory settings.
Wow. Okay. So you're definitely going a little far, maybe.
I haven't done that. I'm just wondering what else I can do to make sure that...
Well,
I'm safe.
If Malwarebytes has an app for Android, I've never seen it, but that's a good tool. And if you run a scan on that and it finds nothing, I would give you some comfort in knowing you're probably okay. We recommend a more robust antivirus for our business clients for their phones called WebRoot. And that's a professional level of antivirus that will do a very good job of protecting you going forward. The free stuff, I mean, ESET has a free antivirus that I run on Android. Lookout is something that Joey's mentioned. So there's other solutions that you can try, but WebRoot, you're going to pay for that, and you're going to have pretty good security there. So if you want to go and step it up a notch and get paid antivirus for your phone, that's probably a smart move.
Okay. All right. But you think I'm pretty safe. Now, if I'm not safe, can it get through my router to our other devices?
If you're not safe. So it depends on how the malware is going to spread and what kind of malware. So you've got an Android phone there, which is less apt to kind of spread disease per se as a computer would be. Because you're not really networked with the device. You know, your phone is not really networked with other PCs. It's kind of isolated. So I highly doubt that it's going to spread to your internal network. Could you then resend out malware to your friends through contacts? It all depends. I haven't seen that through any kind of malicious software yet on Android, but those are the things you'd have to be worried about outbound email coming out of your phone that's going to disseminate the malware. Okay. But I, you know, you'd probably hear about it by now from your folks if you've
I just now through another device sent out email to all the work contacts not to open it if they got it.
Right.
But I didn't do it through my personal contact list because that's on the phone and I have it turned off. So
yeah, and the next step again at work. Do you work for a big company or a smaller business?
It's a school district.
A school district, okay. They need to step up their ability to prevent this from spreading on their network in the first place.
And they probably do have it,
yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure that if it did spread,
yeah.
That people would know not to open it.
Yeah, no, that's good thing to do. So I would say you're probably okay with if Malwarebytes says you're okay, but if you wanted to add another level, purchase Webroot for your phone.
Okay, so you don't think I have to go as far as resetting everything?
No, just being sneezed on doesn't mean you're all of a sudden a carrier of a disease. So
okay.
I would contend you're fine based on the steps you took.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Pam.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. It is kind of unnerving, and probably that's what Pam's issue is. She kind of felt violated. But generally, you know, especially on phones like Androids and Apples, you're a little more isolated, so your chances of spreading the news to other folks like that is much more limited. So let's go on to Patty in Windsor next. Hey, Patty.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about Yahoo Mail.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, you said that it's safer for you to get an extra email address or any email address through your provider rather than go yahoo.com or gmail.com.
I would contend that's the way to go, yes.
Okay, so I did that.
Yeah.
And my provider is Frontier.
And they're using Yahoo.
Yes, thank you. Hello.
Yeah.
You keep saying, now you can get the Yahoo app because it's more secure.
Yeah, well, they were just hacked. A billion of their email boxes were hacked.
Yeah.
1 billion.
Mm.
So maybe that's not a good choice in this case. Again, it's tough, right? Because your mail providers, these guys that offer free mailboxes, you know, through Yahoo and stuff like that, they're using it to see what Patty's interested in, right? They're going to read your mail.
Right.
I have to find an alternative, a paid alternative to have a nice safe mailbox or more safe mailbox.
Right.
Because these free ones, I would contend, are definitely, just based on the fact that I don't have to tell you that they're not safe. We've told you that a billion of them have been compromised.
Mm.
So it's not like it's my opinion. It's just the truth.
Right.
So unfortunately, Frontier, if they're using Yahoo, which they probably are. I mean, it's up to you. You could stick with Frontier and hope that they are going to care a little bit about Patty from Windsor and your security. But I would contend they're still leveraging the same free mailbox system that you just got away from.
Yeah.
Where were you? You were using Yahoo before then, right?
No, I had a Frontier address with them, but it didn't seem like it was attached to Yahoo.
Right.
But then when I decided to get a second email address with Frontier, now I'm getting, you know, notifications, get the Frontier app or the Yahoo app.
So maybe the old box is safer.
Yeah, maybe.
You can find out where that mail system is from, the old system. It could be under the same system. I don't know. Just take a look and give them a ring. But you can always turn on two-step verification, too.
That's true, yeah.
And get some level of security,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more security. Always turn on two-step if you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and then one final question. A friend of mine's email got hacked,
mm-hmm.
and she's wondering exactly how to get that taken care of. Should she get a new email address, change the password, blah, blah, blah?
So she should contact whoever hosts her email box and work on changing that password.
Okay.
That's step number one. And then set up two-factor so that it hits her cell phone when she wants to authenticate. Once she does those two things, and as long as her provider is some sort of company she can talk to, she'll have better feelings as far as her security.
Okay, that's great advice.
All right, Patty.
All right, thank you.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have all four lines are wide open on this Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC. I'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and Bob's feeling a little under the weather. Feel free to get online. We have four lines wide open on this Saturday morning, 1-800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC. And I'll do my best to take your computer comments, questions, and concerns. A couple things you should be aware about as far as concerns go. ATMs, right? There's a lot of issues with skimming. And one of my favorite sites on security is called Krebs on Security. And he has a column that he talks about why he always tugs on the ATM before he uses it. And it's something you should read because these skimming devices are so hidden that you could walk up and not even notice it.
Probably apply that to the gas stations.
Gas stations within the gas station itself?
Or yeah, because with the pay at the pump.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
You're paying at the pump, and a lot of them ask you if you're doing it as a debit, your PIN number.
That's true.
I just carry rolls of quarters. That's how I pay for gas.
There you go, Joey. But this thing, as far as what you should be aware of, they show Brian Krebs talks about this skimming, and they showed that you look right at this machine, and it looks completely perfect. And I'll put a link up there for you. Mike G will put a link up there for you. But basically, it's capturing your PIN. It's got a little pinhole camera in the cover where the money is dispensed, and the little green lit area where you slide your card in. There's a cover over top of it that is actually capturing all the data on your card. So if you just tug on it a little bit, it'll come off, and you'll find that it's obviously a skimming ATM. But be aware of it. These folks, and you'd almost think the banks should make this a common process where you go out every morning,
yeah,
and tug on your ATM,
make it part of your morning routine.
Yes. So unlock the door, guys. Go out to your ATMs and tug on them to see if you've had skimming devices attached to them. But it is kind of an interesting read, and you should definitely check it out. And Brian Krebs does a really good job. You've never had your card skimmed, have you, Joey?
No, but there was a couple years back, I had a fraudulent check written out of my account.
Really?
The funny thing is, basically when I opened my checking account when I was 16, so going back like 21 years, I still had the original checkbook. That's how many checks have ever been written out of my account.
Right.
So it was like a fraudulent check with my account number. So they basically somehow got my account number, created check. So my card wasn't stolen, but the bank account number was.
Interesting.
So I don't know how that one happened.
Well, you can print your own checks these days.
Yeah.
There's ink you can use now to print checks. It's some sort of special magnetic ink you can buy. So maybe that's how they did it. But they only won't run check?
It was one of those like online checks. So it was like a check that you would print from your printer and go cash.
Gotcha.
So that's how they got around that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I just closed that account, went to another bank. Took my $36 elsewhere.
So feel free to get online, guys. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I'll do my best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. The other thing as far as hacking goes, we had that caller earlier before talking about her friend having her email box hacked. And it is a big issue these days where folks are using the same passwords on their email boxes and their websites in multiple places. So the bad guys, what's happening now, are getting into your mailboxes and they're watching your mail, right? They're watching what you do and they're hoping, because they get nothing to do over there in the third world, but they're sitting there reading your email. They're hoping that you're going to have some sort of transaction coming up. Maybe it's a transaction with your financial planner. Maybe it's a transaction with, who knows, maybe it's a transaction with a real estate transaction. You have an attorney involved. And what's happening is they're waiting for you to get an email from one of those professionals and for you to respond where you would say, yeah, sure, I want to invest in such and such. Please move my money here. And what they then do is insert themselves as if they're you to that professional to redirect the funds to maybe a direct a wire account. And the money then, instead of going where you told the professional to send it, your lawyer or your financial planner sends it to the wrong place. Very common thing happening. It's a $3 billion industry right now. And you've got to be very vigilant. Maybe not use email these days for anything important, because it's just one of those things that is too commonly happening. Because you know what your email password is? Password.
Mm. Well, there was a thing I read a couple months ago. Like, people have those apps to keep track of all their passwords.
Yeah.
What was happening, the apps were basically storing all your passwords as plain text.
Oh my
so
goodness.
If you cracked that one, if you got into that one app on a person's phone, now you had all their passwords.
I was talking to my son about that. My middle son was putting a password down on his phone, but he was just using his notepad. I'm like, don't use your notepad for your passwords.
Yeah, so it's like the same thing. You got to be sure if you're using an app or a program to store your passwords, make sure that that's actually encrypting it also.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, the lines are ringing. Let's go and get to Rich in Naugatuck first. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, you guys I know are big fans of the OpenDNS, so I followed your advice and have installed it on a second location. I have another home in another state.
All right.
So in any case, I was interested in setting it up here in Connecticut. But, of course, what they have is that they have a situation where Cisco asks you to have an updater for the OpenDNS.
Right, and, if your IP address changes, yes.
Right. So, you know, and I've done that. So can you have more than one location under that or not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure you can. I've never tried it personally, but I would think you could have the updater running on your home network and maybe need a second email address for your remote one. So configure some free Gmail account and set up the updater on that. It's just so that they're, you know, disparate. I would contend you might have some weirdness if you try to set it up on the same mailbox or the same system.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can have as many locations as you want.
Right. Okay. All right. Cool. And that was basically it.
All right. How's it working for you? Are you able to keep your folks safe?
Oh, I think, yeah. And I set it up on the router, of course, rather than individual machines. And I think that that's absolutely the way to go.
Yeah.
my debate right now is whether or not I want to get rid of my rented Comcast modem up here, because quite frankly, I'm not sure how much longer we're going to live in this house. We're actually in the state, so I don't know if it's worthwhile dumping the money for that to buy it.
A modem's only $50, really, so it depends on what they're renting it to you for. What are they renting the modem for?
Well, I've got the modem, voice, and internet combo, you know, the Wi-Fi, the router, for all that. So it's the three stick, and so most of those prices seem to be somewhere in the almost the $200 range for the three capacity on that. And my rent's $10 a month.
All right. Well, you can do the math and figure that out, depending on how long you're still a state resident, I guess. Where are you at? You're heading south?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, so jealous, Rich. getting's good, huh?
Well, it's kind of time. I've retired now at this point, and the cost of living and politics are... I'm ready to make a change.
Yeah, well, we'll miss you.
Thanks very much.
All right,
not happening right, but I appreciate your help. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, take it easy. Yeah, you can always catch us on the pod or online. You can stream us. We do get a lot of calls from Orlando and all these folks who are kind of laughing at us up here in Connecticut as we circle the drain. Let's go to resident groupie Danny. Hey, Danny.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Listen, my wife had made a credit card purchase with a website to buy some yoga clothes.
Yep.
We get a letter that says their information had been compromised.
Right.
And we have a Discover card that's the only thing we use if we buy something online, and
smart.
It's got a isolated, not connected to anything, and small credit amount and stuff.
Yep.
So when I called up Discover card to report it, they said, well, they were going to ask me security questions.
Yeah.
So instead of what's your mother's name or your high school and stuff, she said, have you ever owned one of these cars? And she named a 59 Mercury, a 72, this, and, you know.
Yeah.
And she did all these just questions. And I said, well, where did you get those from? And I couldn't even remember the one car that, a 77 Honda I owned. I didn't even remember owning it.
Yeah.
Almost flunked the test.
She knew more about you than you did.
They do. They use the public available databases of all your, your history.
Yep.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. I'd never had that happen before.
No, it is a good way for them to prove you are Danny.
Which is better than asking you your pet's name or your, you know, I think that would be more secure if everybody did that.
It would be. The problem, though, what you just brought up, and I see this on Facebook an awful lot, there's this guy in Windsor that keeps doing it. Drives me nuts. He asks you what your first car was, who your favorite teacher was, and he's asking security questions.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just giving it to him like it's nothing. I don't even know why he's asking. Why would you care? You know, even on Facebook, why would you care? I mean, I know there's enough pictures of people's dinners to make you sick. I mean, why would you care about that, too? But these people are asking security questions. And why are they doing it? Because they want to figure out that information so that when there is a security question asked like that, Danny, they've got a little dossier on you if they're gonna you know, try to steal your identity.
Mm-hmm. Is he in Windsor, India?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
But he drives me nuts. I'm like, stop asking these questions.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a smart move. So don't give them that information, but it's cool. So they're going to give you a new card, I assume, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah. They emailed us. And, I mean, they sent us a new card right away in FedEx. But I just thought it was interesting that instead of your mother's maiden name and stuff, they did all these other questions of obscure things that nobody else would know but me.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
That is good. And you can add two-factor to that credit card as well, you know.
Yes.
So that's important. So you can always have it, you know, chime you or text you if there's some sort of transaction that occurs.
Oh, yeah. Hey, one other quick thing. Mm-hmm. On my old tablet, my favorite old Acer.
Yes.
I'm trying to, how can I move a memory onto the SD card? Because I've got the SD chip in there, and it's empty. And I looked online, and it said, you know, go to settings, go to manage, move to this, move to SD card. But I've got the Jelly Bean 4.4, and it doesn't have that. Is there any way to move any of that over to the SD card?
Not within Jelly Bean that we know.
Oh, okay.
So you have to. I would recommend moving it off to something else. You're moving it to your computer. Just connect the device as a USB device and copying it right off to your PC.
Uh-huh.
And then you can finally trash that thing, Danny.
Okay. No, stop it. It's like my first girlfriend. Goodbye.
All right, bye. Actually, funny you should say that. I still have my first girlfriend. Honey, if you're listening. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. Either you're all at baseball practice or your computer problems are finally solved. And without Bob here, I can't talk about his kids. But Joey and I can talk about our kids. So if you want us to do that, we'll do that. Or get online and we'll talk about computers. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. Bob's a little under the weather today, so I'll be taking your computer comments, questions, and concerns myself. Feel free to get online. We have three lines wide open, and the phones do generally start to jam up in the second hour. So get on now while you have a chance to. And we're going to go to your calls, and we're going to go to Michigan and Rocky. Hey, Rocky, what's up?
Good morning, Eric. Just wanted to offer a few comments about some limitations on OpenDNS.
Sure.
First off, I really like it. I really appreciate you promoting it, and it's just a great free service. So certainly for all your listeners, don't take this as any kind of a negative. I did run a few tests. I just exploring the limitations of it. How's that?
Sure.
So I did run a few tests, and maybe you've run these before too, but I did find that whatever the DNS specified on the device in the household, regardless of how the Wi-Fi is set up, the device DNS will dominate. And that surprised me a little bit. In other words, what happens is I think your generic plan, which you've talked about before, is put DNS on the router.
Right.
And so we'll open DNS on the router. And, of course, as long as the device is set on automatic, each of the devices is set on automatic.
Right.
Or if it's not locked down, like Comcast modems are, rental modems, like a lot of the cell phones are, if it's not locked down, then it will route all the traffic through open DNS locations. But what I found in my test was if I changed the DNS specification to a Comcast DNS, to Google DNS, to anything else, then whatever it's set up as non-automatic but as fixed on the device will dominate.
Correct.
That will dominate.
And that
so you get no blockage. Yeah.
And that is true. So, yeah, so this all assumes that you're going to be obtaining your information from the device, handing it out, in this case, the router. So you're right. You can override it. That is true.
Yeah, it can only be overridden, but if you, like my Android phone, if I were to buy a new one today and bring it into my household and connect to my Wi-Fi, it would never use OpenDNS.
You know, I'm going to check that,
because the DNS, I know, because it's so opaque.
Yeah.
You don't know where it's routing all this traffic until you test. So to test it, I would type in like porn.com and that kind of thing to test it to see if it would block.
It used to be able you could test whitehouse.com.
Exactly. But yeah, if somebody thinks that they put the OpenDNS on the router, the DNS specifications on the router, as they get new devices into the household, if
check
it's
it.
A computer, they tend to be set on automatic.
Right.
So it will be affected by settings on the router.
Right.
But if it's a locked down Android, it will not. And of course, we won't even talk about 15-year-old teenagers changing things.
You are correct, sir. You are correct, yeah. Sir. So that's you're right. So we can do some testing. I'm going to do some testing on that as well. I do know that you can add clients, individual clients, on the workstations to help lock even that, so nobody can even circumvent anything on the PC side. I've not looked at that on the phone side. So I'm pretty sure you can do that as well. But good points. Yep. Good points. You're right. It's never a fail-safe. You always got to keep being vigilant.
No, but it's a wonderful product, and of course, the best thing about it is once you put those settings in place, you're not scanning.
Right.
You're actually blocking bad. you're blocking malware and other bad things that can happen before they come into your home.
Exactly.
Before they come right at the wall of your house.
Exactly.
Kind of thing, the router.
Yep. You're safe surfing. I do appreciate the call, and thanks for listening out there in Michigan.
Okay. Hey, you betcha. See you on the internet.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. So, yeah, he's right. I got to do some testing on that. I've never tested what he had talked about as far as – but it is true. If your individual PCs within your home have fixed IP addresses for the DNS setting, it'll definitely take what you put in there rather than the open DNS settings that you're handing off. So, obviously, we want you to set your PCs to obtain the IP and the DNS settings from your firewall. But I got to check on the phones. It wouldn't be surprising that the folks at Verizon or AT&T would prefer you to use their DNS because they're curious as to where you're going. So, I think that's definitely worth bringing up. Let's go to Rich in Naugatuck. Hey, Rich.
Hey, I forgot to ask you guys when I called earlier.
Okay.
I want to recycle, actually, I should say discard a couple of PCs. And I've got a disk, just a regular dirt disk PC that I was going to use, or I did use D-Band's Derek's Nuke and Boot, I think it was, back years ago.
Okay.
And I use that. How effective is that? Do you think that's 100% great or not? Or nothing's 100%, right?
Well, that's step one. I think it will. Yeah, you can always assume nothing's 100%. But there is Shredder software out there that'll write zeros and ones over all your drives. But we would then recommend you take a hammer to it.
Okay. All right. Now, how about besides a hammer to an SSD drive, Derek's free or D-Band's free program doesn't address that. I guess they have a paid version. Is there other than a hammer? You have another suggestion?
Well, hammers are so easy to use, and you can feel so much better afterwards. But a physical destruction, I mean, we even are, looking into hard drive shredders, where they just chew the drive to shreds. Because, again, you just can't trust any of these tools anymore. Because anything, it's all logical, right? How logical can a computer be? Even the shredder program, some of them had, in the older days, were writing the zeros and ones logically, so they could be unwritten.
Yeah.
And if you've got nothing but time. What?
Using logic to unwrite.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I would like to reuse this SSD drive, give it to somebody, but I obviously I'd like all my stuff off of it and try to reload their Windows. So that's
okay.
Kind of the game plan.
Then you could format it and use the shredding software and then give it to them. That should
What particular software would you recommend?
I got to go find a link again for you. I don't have it off the top of my head, Rich.
Okay. All right, no worries.
Yeah, but I'll put it out there on Computer Talk for you.
Cool. Thanks, bud.
You got it, sir.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I'll put that link out there for you. But when you want to protect the data on a hard drive.
I'll say, if you get those shredders at Tab, that's a whole new YouTube channel right there.
Yeah, come on over and watch
Tab hard drive
it up.
Shredders, you know?
we're looking forward. It's like Tim the Toolman Taylor,
exactly.
Man. We're going to crunch those things. Best way to protect your data if you ever need to. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open for you on this Saturday morning. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted by Mike G. Live at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show. .com. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.